Good morning, it's Jeff Wine, host of The Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Folks, once again, we have an action-packed show for you today. We're going to catch you up on the latest and greatest of the world of the automobile. Well, the Good Guy Show is in town. It's the 27th annual Speedway Southwest Nationals out at Westworld. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Las Vegas last night, Formula One. Yeah, they were up there running for me in the middle of the night. But we'll give you the results, and do we have a new champion? Maybe. We'll also catch you up on a great article about a 39 Buick. We'll also catch you up on what's going on with the finals from NASCAR. The banquet was this weekend and some season-ending news. We'll certainly talk about what's going on with gas prices, as well as some weird and unusual automotive news. And, of course, it wouldn't be the car show without a little car talk. You know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on the car show. The final day for the Good Guy Show out at Westworld, and happened to spend some time out there yesterday. I've got a very dear friend who has a 1971 Bronco, fully restored, and hung out with him for a little bit. And boy, a lot of people were coming up and wanting to look at his car or his truck and ask him questions about it. And it's a great story because the vehicle was owned by his wife's father, and he used it to go hunting. He also used it to drive down into the pit mines up in Morenci as he was a mechanic on some of the big trucks and equipment. So what a great time out there. Beautiful day yesterday. So many different kind of cars. Whatever you ever thought you might want to see in hot rod and classic cars. You know, Fords, Chevys, Camaros, Mustangs. You know, some beautiful older cars. I saw a beautiful 1964 Impala. Red, customized. One of the things I really enjoyed was they have a bunch of dragsters out there, and they start these things up, and boy, I tell you, that'll get your hair on the back of your neck standing up. So yeah, once again, such a great time out at Good Guys. Today, the show goes through about 3 o'clock, so you still have a chance to get out there. They're running the Autocross, which is a racing program that they run in a giant parking lot, and it's so much fun. These cars are handle like they're slot cars on rail. The show will be back in the spring as we kick off the 2025 season. So anytime you get a chance, head on out to Good Guys. Today, they're there until 3 o'clock. The 2024 NASCAR Cup Series, Truck Series, and Xfinity Series is in the rearview mirror. We have a recap of By the Numbers. Well, a week from the conclusion of the 2024 season, it's time to take a look at how the year unfolded. Columns and recaps have been written about Team Penske's Joey Logano winning his third NASCAR Cup Series championship, and there will be a chance for drivers to offer their final thoughts about the season, earlier previews of the upcoming season. Let's talk about the numbers. Number of wins. Kyle Larson led the series with 6 victories. Joey Logano had the second most at 4. Interesting enough, 3 of those came in the last 10 races in the playoffs. Stage wins. Kyle Larson had a series leading 12 stage wins. Christopher Bell was his closest competition at 11. Top 20 finishes. Well, Christopher Bell had that covered, leading 23 top 20 finishes out of 36 races. Top 5 finishes. Christopher Bell and Kyle Larson led the series with 15 top 5s each. Well, pole positions. Well, Michael McDowell from Glendale, Arizona was dominant in this situation. Front Row Motorsports using his Roush Yates engines to claim their advantage of a series 6 pole positions. All of them but St. Louis were on super speedways. Kyle Larson had the second most poles at 5. Laps led. Well, Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell were the only two drivers who led more than 1,000 laps in the Cup Series this year. Larson led the series with 1,699, while Bell had 1,131. Next drivers in line, Denny Hamlin, almost 1,000 with 943 laps led, and Tyler Reddick with 597. Well, Joey Logano, a third championship for him after he started seeded in the 9th position. No, it's not the lowest driver to seed to win the championship. That honor belongs to Logano's teammate, Ryan Blaney, who did it from position number 12 in 2023. Well, average finish, Chase Elliott and the number 9 Hendricks Motorsports team with a solid season, posting an average finishing order of 11.7. Laps led, well, Chase Elliott was also at the top of this category. Elliott led 32 laps finishes out of the 32 races, and Denny Hamlin was second, leading laps in 30 of the 36 races. Well, speeding. Well, on his way out the door, Martin Truex Jr. did this one better than anybody else. Truex had 8 speeding penalties across the year, All of them, all of the non-points events, Daytona qualifying races, and All-Star races were included in this tally as well. Regular season winners, well, there were 14 different winners throughout the first 26 races in the elimination era. That was the third time that there were 14 different winners before the postseason. The most was 16 in 2022. Well, overall winners in 2024, there were 17 different winners, beginning with William Byron, followed by Daniel Suarez, Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott, Tyler Reddick, Brad Keselowski, Austin Cindric, Ryan Blaney, Alex Bowman, Austin Dillon, Harrison Burton, Chase Briscoe, Chris Buescher, Ross Chastain, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. All right, let's talk about some more information. According to the data loop, here's some interesting statistical nuggets that you might want to hear. Christopher Bell was the best closer, which is the best average finish spots gained and positions moving up. Bell had an average finish of 12.1 with 3.2 average spots gained, 112 positions moved up over the season. Kyle Larson was the highest driver rating at 101.2. This category combines wins, finishes, top 15 finishes, average running position while leading on the last lap, average speed under green, fastest lap, most laps led, and led the fast laps. Well, Ryan Blaney was the fastest on the restarts. Denny Hamlin had the most laps run in the top 15. Kyle Larson was second in that position. And we'll celebrate the fact that this is Martin Truex Jr.'s final season, and a nod to his career. His resume in the Cup Series was it will be a first ballot Hall of Famer with 693 starts, 34 wins, the 2017 championship. He was also had 147 top five finishes, 291 top 10 finishes, and 25 poles with a total of 12,747 laps led. Among those wins were two of the four crown jewels, the Coca-Cola 600 and the Southern 500. Unfortunately, he was on the losing end of the closest finish in Daytona 500 history, losing to Denny Hamlin in 2016 by 1/100th of a second. Well, the headline says NASCAR celebrates champions and award winners. Well, Friday evening in downtown Charlotte, the NASCAR industry celebrated its heroes, industry inspirations, champions at the Charlotte Convention Center and the NASCAR Hall of Fame for the first time in the modern era. And a little caveat, I got a chance to go to the NASCAR Hall of Fame last weekend when I was in Charlotte visiting family and in an impressive, impressive museum. All right, back to the story. Race teams, drivers, and fans gathered to watch the 2024 Titleists receive their trophies and the sport honor those careers who impacted NASCAR not only this season, but for years and even decades. Well, the Cup Series champion Joey Logano began the afternoon celebrating his third title with a special gold car given to each champion from Goodyear, and finally being feted in the sport a tuxedo and gown banquet that will be televised today on the CW, and that is at 1 o'clock local time. The 34-year-old's three titles, the number 22 Penske Ford, are now the most among active drivers, and he's only one of 10 competitors in the history of the sport to have earned a trio of championship trophies. Logano thanked his team and his owner, Roger Penske, and the father of three gave his special nod to his wife, Brittany, who he praised for taking care of the young family at home, allowing him to maintain his championship focus. He thanked his family, who was also in the audience and remembered when he was a kid and he got a go-kart for Christmas. Now I'm sitting here as a three-time Cup champion. It is truly incredible. To me, I did get a lot of opportunities, and life is really good, and you have to take advantage of the opportunities, and you have to know what you're doing and when they come along the way. Joey Logano, who's 2024 given with 36 wins total for his Cup career. Logano was feeling sentimental or thinking about his career and his accomplishments. If you take the opportunity that God has given us to talk to people, to inspire people, and live generously, these are the scenarios. It's not just driving in circles. We're not just driving in circles anymore. We do a lot to help victims of incidents and everything, including Hurricane Helen victims at the Western North Carolina. I'm particularly proud of this industry and being a part of it. personally helped raise money and deliver supplies to the affected regions, and I'm proud of winning, but I'm also proud of being a part of this great sport. Logano's team owner, NASCAR Hall of Fame Roger Penske, now has 5 NASCAR championships, including 3 of the last, consecutively the last 3, Logano in 22 and 24, and Ryan Blaney in 23. Well, from my perspective, Joey Logano was a winner when he came to our team in 2013. We're also very proud of our team. Racing is the common thread throughout all our businesses. It's the teamwork. It's the pressure. It's the integrity. It's the transparency. This has built the Penske brand, and we're thrilled to be here. Now, beyond Logano and the Penske dominance, it was a night of emphasizing the highlights across all NASCAR series, including those roles in the pits and beyond. The NASCAR Xfinity Series and a first-time champion and a popular veteran driver at JR Motorsports' Justin Allgaier, along with the Craftsman Truck Series first-time champion Ty Majeski and his Thor Sports Racing team were celebrated. Allgaier's team owner Dale Earnhardt Jr. was visibly excited to honor his longtime driver. I'm normally not this kind of person, but I knew we were going to win it. I'm normally the kind of person who thinks about the odds and wonders how we might lose a race or what are the obstacles in front of us, Earnhardt said. But for some reason, I just felt like the universe owed Justin and we were going to collect what we got in Phoenix. And man, did he get up on that wheel. All those restarts, all those classic moments. If you watch that 7-car work all night through, Justin just wanted it so bad. He carried the whole company on his back that night, and I'm just so proud of him and able to see him celebrate tonight. The sport also celebrated Earnhardt's good friend Joe Gibbs Racing's Martin Truex Jr., the 2017 NASCAR Cup champion, who retired from full-time competition at the end of this season. Also marked distinction by the former Penske champion, as well as Brad Keselowski, who claimed his first victory at Darlington as a driver-owner for Roush Fenway Racing Keselowski. Now, Hendricks Motorsports' Chase Elliott, the 2020 series champion, was named the series' most popular driver for the 7th consecutive season. First and foremost, I want to thank the fans, Elliott said, who won in Texas this season. I also want to, look at this award, regardless if I win it or not, I've always viewed it as an opportunity to honor and appreciate the legacy of my family that has set this up for me. Now, former NASCAR Truck Series and Xfinity Series driver and champion Greg Biffle was a National Motorsports Press Association Myers Brothers Award winner. Biffle, an avid pilot, flew rescue missions in his helicopter and dropped supplies to residents in western North Carolina following the devastating damage from Hurricane Helene in October. Well, I thought if I didn't go, who's going to go? Biffle said. He received over 12,000 messages for help and flew supplies into the area for 14 consecutive days after the storm hit. I didn't do anything that anyone else in this room wouldn't have done, added the humble Biffle. Now, other awards that were presented on the night, David Wilson, longtime president of Toyota Racing Development, was presented the Bill France Award for Excellence for his contribution to the sport. Wilson is retiring after leading the Toyota Racing effort for 30 years. During that tenure, it included Toyota's first Cup Series championship in 2015 and 2 more in 2017 and 2019. Now, Legacy Motor Club driver Eric Jones was named the Comcast Community Champion Award winner for his work in promoting cancer screenings, raising money for breast cancer patients, and a long literacy advocate reading books to school children as he traveled around the country. On that evening, hosted by Jamie Little and Adam Alexander, Kim Coons concluded shortly after 8 p.m. If you'd like to catch that again, I mentioned it's going to be on at 1 o'clock today on the CW, and racing resumes with the NASCAR Clash exhibition race at the venerable Bowman Gray Stadium on February 2nd, and the Daytona 500 opens the point series on February 16th. Well, from the pages of Old Car Weekly, this one's called Betting on Buick, a 1939 Buick at the right place at the right time. Well, it was a lucky break for Dave Kohler, who didn't throw away the sheet of paper that was handed to him at a cruise night. Yeah, a person came up to me with this flyer, he recalled, and handed it to me. I looked and I said, oh my gosh, I already have one of these back home in a trailer box that just needs some paint. I never got around to painting it. Picture looked beautiful. Now, the picture showed a 1939 Buick Special. Kohler said he was asked to pass the flyer around, but when he got home from the cruise, he called the Buick seller himself. The owner, he had learned, had passed away, and since no one in the family knew much about the car, the decision was made to sell it. The guy with the flyers, well, he'd just been looking to help. Well, I went and looked at it. It wasn't running, Kohler continued, but it was advertised as not running. It was in a very dark garage across the Hudson River. I'm in Hopewell, New York, so I went over and looked at it right away, and I'm not afraid of an engine that's not running. Being a mechanic, I know that I know these cars like the back of my hand. And now, it's not a big deal as long as it cranks. And this car, it cranked. He told the family members he understood his offer was lower than the asking price, but ultimately he thought it was a fair price, and he would be ready to buy the Buick. Well, after 5 or 6 weeks, he had received a phone call. They had some tire kickers, and they finally called me, Kohler said. I had checked in with them a couple times just to see how things were going. I didn't want to lose it, but I also didn't want to pay their asking price. Never cheated anybody in my entire life, and I wouldn't want anyone to cheat me. So we made arrangements to go to the bank, and I did the transfer at the bank with my daughter and the widow, awfully nice people, and they were content with the sale. Well, after the purchase, it was about 4 years ago, Kohler was content with it too. His Buick Special four-door sedan was one of the least expensive Buicks in 1939, and therefore, no surprise, it was the most popular. Almost certainly, although more than the price that was involved, was the styling of this Buick, which was remarkably different than the car in 1938. Many of its contemporaries from the Big Three at that time and the Independents employed the Art Deco styling touches for several years, but now thinking they conceived to modernize the styling and move forward with an effort to improve efficiency. The front end's vertical theme had a Buick standard for decades, now would fade into a first step of a transition of a horizontal look. Now, Buick engineers, well, they were shooting at better aerodynamics and not as much styling. They had touched off what they were doing with repattering these cars. Well, that means a fresh, lovely front line, and you'll quickly see how this car achieves that. What matters is Buick was not merely the appearance and the beauty, but every aspect of fine car performance. Well, let's talk about that styling. It's all about efficiency or a happy coincidence every time you look at it. It's an attractive new look. The signature feature was a harp-shaped grille combined with front-end sheet metal. The result was a big step away from the 1938 model and its tall vertical grille, an unmistakable distinct from its front fenders. Although Buick preferred the potential customers not to think of it that way, admonished them to spot the meaning behind these vital changes. Not only were the smart styling in placement of the radiator in the grille, but the good sense of placing it in a high-pressure area. The same brochure, of course, discussed the front end and the spaciousness of the car, the convenience, the good taste, and its keen and eager willingness to tread foot suggestion, meaning, well, the grille remains out front and a noticeable strong selling point. Now, if you watch any of the old movies on Turner Classic Movies, cops use them all the time. In fact, one of my favorite is a movie with Bogey in it. Ida Lupino was his love interest, and he's running from the cops, and he goes up and hides up in the mountains. There's a shootout in High Sierra, that's the movie, and the cops are chasing him in 39 Buicks. He recalled the less than starring role in some of the film noir classics that makes the grill not only noticeable, but memorable. Kohler also recalled a brief encounter with his car's somewhat stoic previous owner, having several other Buicks struck up a conversation with them. I'd love to see some of those earlier shows like the Locust Grove car show. I'd recognize any of the 40 and 39s. He wasn't a real talker type, but I do remember that. Now, on the first night Kohler owned it, he became one of those who saw the Buick and wanted it. I picked it up with a rollback, and that night we cruised Hopewell and cruised it, and my rollback, well, everybody was looking at my car. Once at the garage, the reason the Buick didn't run became clear and easily addressed. Kohler explained that the previous owner had installed a solid-state ignition in the car and needed to rewire it to cure its problems. Buick's first destination was that same cruise where he had taken his rollback. I've taken it to shows and to the other side of the river, driven to a couple other car shows, and everybody recognizes this car for sure. And more car shows you go, the more that people recognize it. Well, the Buick has proved reliable. He said he was on a field at the Hudson Valley Antique Auto Association in Rhinebeck. Hadn't been on any long trips, so he hadn't yet given it a thorough inspection. I guess the problem was that there's some other stuff back there that makes these things more reliable. So I wouldn't suspect anything was going to go wrong, but if a brake line blew or the clutch went or it overheated, something else happened. There are several things that can go wrong. So after a thorough inspection, yeah, I've got no problem. I'd get in this car and I'd drive it to California anytime. So a beautiful 1939 Buick is in the hands of a beautiful collector who really appreciates the fine points of this car. Chance you did not stay up and watch the Formula One race, which started at 11 o'clock our time up in Las Vegas, and you recorded it and you don't know who won, well, you might want to take a couple minute pause here from the Car Show because I might have a little bit of a spoiler alert for you. All right, ready? Russell dominates Las Vegas as Verstappen clinches his fourth title. Well, Max Verstappen has won his fourth consecutive World Racing Championship after finishing fifth at the Las Vegas Grand Prix, and the race was won by rampaging George Russell in a shock and a Mercedes 1-2 finish. Russell aced the start from the pole position to fend off the Ferrari drivers at the first turn, with Charles Leclerc jumping from fourth to second behind Pierre Gasly, Carlos Sainz to emerge as the Britain's closest challenger. And he went on to lead practically the entire race, and it was no competition for young George Russell. But what was amazing was the fact that Lewis Hamilton drove up from the 10th position to finish in second. Carlos Sainz finished in third, driving his Ferrari. So the first two cars were Mercedes. Charles Leclerc in fourth. Max Verstappen in Red Bull. And then McLaren, who had looked so good earlier this season, finished in sixth and seventh. And the title hopes for Lando Norris are gone. So we've got some drivers that are going to be departing this series, and we have a couple more races to go. But Las Vegas last night, running in Sin City, George Russell dominated the race, and Max Verstappen has won his fourth consecutive Formula One championship. Weird and unusual automotive news. The headline reads, 8-year-old was left alone in the back seat during a attempted carjacking in New York. Well, an 8-year-old girl was left alone in a car while her mom went inside a Brooklyn hospital to seek treatment on Saturday and was kidnapped when a thief stole the vehicle and drove off with her in the back seat. The unidentified mother ran into the Brookdale Hospital in Brownsville after she was involved in a car accident on Rockaway Parkway, according to police sources. Apparently, the injured woman left her 8-year-old daughter unaccompanied in the backseat of the car, which was parked on the Rockaway Parkway. The parked car then would be broken into and stolen, with the little girl still in the backseat, waiting for her mother to return, according to the New York Police Department. The vehicle would later be found on Howard Avenue, and thank goodness the 8-year-old girl was recovered safely. Police say that it is unclear if the carjacker knew that the 8-year-old was in the vehicle at the time. Let's talk a little gas prices with our friends at AAA. Right now, the average gas price in the United States, folks, how about this? $3.05 a gallon. Well, average gas price here in Arizona right now is $3.21. Our friends over in Cala, $4.44. Nevada, $3.70. Utah, $3.06. Colorado, $2.90 for their gas. New Mexico, $2.87. Head a little further east. Let's get over to Texas. Average gas price in Texas, $2.64. Oklahoma, $2.53. Louisiana, $2.71. And Mississippi, $2.63. Let's head up north. Washington, $3.98. Oregon, $3.50. And Florida, $3.12. And let's cruise through North Carolina, where I just came from, $2.85. South Carolina, $2.78. All right, let's see what's going on with our gas prices here in Arizona. All right, well, if you're looking for the cheapest gas in the state right now, the cheapest I can find is $2.39. Yeah, folks, that's right, $2.39. That's a Chevron up in Prescott Valley. The 76 station in Casa Grande at $2.45. The Love's Travel Stop out in Eloy at $2.49. And how about this? The Walmart in Scottsdale, $2.49 a gallon. And I actually was there earlier this week, and I got gas at $2.55, so it's even cheaper right now. If you head over to Parker, Arizona, $2.49 at the Terrible Herps station, the Fast Trip in Casa Grande at $2.53, and the Quick Trip in Casa Grande at $2.55. Oh, and one last Metro Phoenix one, the Mohsen Oil number 6 on 75th and Glendale Avenue at $2.58 a gallon. I always think it's fun to look at the gas prices around the world. Right now, the least expensive gas in the world is in Iran at 10 cents a gallon. Libya, it's 11. Venezuela, it's at 13. Well, all those countries have issues with their countries and their economies. So that's not some place that you really want to be, even though the gas is cheap. All right, now if you want to, Qatar, which is in the Middle East, their gas is at $2.18 a gallon. Saudi Arabia $2.34, Oman at $2.35, Iraq at $2.45. Let's cruise down to, if you were in Puerto Rico, you could be getting gas for $3.53 a gallon. Australia at $3.91. Brazil $4 a gallon. Cruise on down. Japan $4.27. Thailand at $4.90. And if you go, the most expensive gas in the world is in Hong Kong at $12.17. Time for a little car talk. Dear Car Talk, my parents own a 2013 Honda Odyssey minivan, and the shop during our regular inspection said the car was in good shape, but mom needed to replace the timing belt and water pump because it's close to 90,000 miles and 11 years old. The van is wheelchair accessible for my 92-year-old dad, and it's only used two or three times a week. Shop said if the timing belt breaks, it'll ruin the engine, but the replacement of the belt is $1,300. My husband says we should take the chance and save mom's money. What do you say, Mighty Moto Guru? By the way, I know nothing about cars, but I enjoy your column. Thanks, Mimi. Well, Mimi, thanks. I know nothing about cars, but I enjoy writing the column. Your mechanic is correct. You might save $1,300 now, but it might end up costing her $8,000 if the belt breaks and it ruins the engine. Is it possible that it goes another 25,000 miles? Yeah, but also, too, the recommended interval is around 100,000 miles and 7 years to replace that. So I would absolutely consider doing that. Hodis uses an interference engine, very fuel efficient, but what happens is that if that belt breaks, well, or jumps, the timing and the pistons will come up to dead top center and collide whichever valves are open at that moment, and you can say goodbye to that engine. So absolutely, for $1,300, you definitely want to get that repair. Yeah, that's a great advice, because that's a penny wise and pound foolish move if you try to save the $1,300. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for the car show today. My name is Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday, and you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.